This is Twit.
I'm going to look at the logo. It's animated. They did SVJ animation the header of the site, and it's just wonderful. SIMJACKER.com. SimJacker.com.
But what?
And there it is.
Watch carefully. Turns into a voodoo mask.
I love that. It'll repeat.
That's really good. That's really good.
I loved it. They did a really nice job.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that's the end of the good news.
That's the end of the funny stuff.
The rest is not funny. And when I read this, I'm like, what? You're what? It's a new SIM card flaw. And get this, not theoretical, not like some university saying, oh, you know, maybe if the moon is full and you click your heels three times, you can, you know, leak some data from an Intel side channel. No, this is discovered being actively exploited in the wild, which allows attackers to hijack any, capital all bold, any phone just by sending it an SMS message, which is like, what? So this comes from Adaptive Mobile Security. And in their overview, they said Adaptive Mobile Security have uncovered a new and previously undetected vulnerability and associated exploits called SimJacker. This vulnerability is currently being actively exploited by a specific private company that works with governments to monitor individuals.
What?
Yeah. SimJacker and its associated exploits is a huge jump in complexity and sophistication compared to attacks previously seen over mobile core networks. The main SimJacker attack involves an SMS containing a specific type of spyware-like code being sent to a mobile phone, which then instructs, and this is where I'm going, like, wait a minute, have we just jumped the shark here? Instructs the SIM card within the phone to take over the mobile phone to receive and perform sensitive commands. And I did some digging around in Wikipedia. It's like, wait a minute. I thought a SIM was a ROM. How can a ROM take over? Anyway, the location information of thousands of devices was obtained over time without the knowledge or consent of the targeted mobile phone users. During the attack, the user is completely unaware that they received the attack, that information was retrieved, and that it was successfully exfiltrated. However, the SimJacker attack can and has been extended further to perform additional types of attacks. SimJacker has been further exploited to perform many other types of attacks against individuals and mobile operators, such as fraud, scam calls, information leakage, denial of service, and espionage. Adaptive Mobile Security threat intelligence analysts observed the hackers varying their attacks, testing many of these further exploits. In theory, all makes and models of mobile phone are open to attack, as the vulnerability is linked to a technology embedded in SIM cards. The SimJacker vulnerability could extend to over 1 billion mobile phone users globally, potentially impacting countries in the Americas, West Africa, Europe, Middle East, and indeed any region of the world where this SIM card technology is in use. They finished, "We're quite confident that this exploit has been developed by a specific private company that works with governments to monitor individuals. Adaptive Mobile Security has been working closely with the customers and the wider industry, including both mobile network operators and SIM card manufacturers, to protect mobile phone subscribers. We've blocked attacks and are committed to using our global threat intelligence to build defenses against these new sophisticated attacks that are circumventing current security measures. So I have a lot of information here, but I had to dig down further. So I found a how does it work? They wrote, the main SIMjacker attack involves an SMS containing a specific type of spyware-like code being sent to a mobile phone, which then instructs the SIM card within the phone to take over the mobile phone to retrieve and perform sensitive commands. So that repeats what I had said earlier. The attacks exploit the ability to send SIM toolkit messages and the presence of the S@T browser on the SIM card of vulnerable subscribers. And I thought, what? Maybe we are in the future. The S@T browser is normally used for browsing through the SIM card. The attack messages use the S@T browser functionality to trigger proactive commands that are sent to the handset. And it turns out that like the SIM is in line between the radio and the rest of the phone handset functionality. Anyway, the responses to these commands are sent back from the handset to the SIM card and stored there temporarily. Once the relevant information is returned from the handset, another proactive command is sent to the handset to send out an SMS containing the information. So I thought, what the hell? An S@T browser of some kind on SIM cards? So at this point, I jumped over to Wikipedia to get a bit more background, and that just made things worse. Wikipedia says, SIM Application Toolkit, STK, is a standard of the GSM system which enables the subscriber identity module, which is what SIM, S-I-M, stands for, to initiate actions which can be used for various value-added services. Similar standards exist for other network and card systems within with the USIM application toolkit, which is USAT for USIMs used by newer generation networks being an example. A more general name for this class of Java card-based applications running on UICC cards is the Card Application Toolkit. Okay, so, you know, there's just way too much technology, which apparently some committee once upon a time said, oh, that'll be cool to have in there. Let's stick that in. And, like, everyone just kind of forgot about it. Anyway, so the SIM Application Toolkit, this SAT, which is in all GSM network phones, consists of a set of commands programmed into the SIM, which define how the SIM should interact directly with the outside world. What? And initiates commands independently of the handset and the network. This enables the SIM to build up an interactive exchange between a network application and the end user and access or control access to the network. The SIM also gives commands to the handset, such as displaying menus and or asking for user input.
Wow.
It's like, it what?
Who knew?
Yes, exactly. Well, unfortunately, bad guys. STK has been deployed by many mobile operators around the world for many applications, often where a menu-based approach is required. Okay, you know, maybe back in the day of a flip phone where you actually had a text screen that you had to like scroll through or something. But it turns out everyone stopped using it, but it stayed in there. You know, and they give an example like such as mobile banking and content browsing. Designed as a single application environment, the SDK, this is still Wikipedia, can be started during the initial power-up of the SIM card and is especially suited to low-level applications with simple user interfaces. And they finish what I'm quoting here saying, in GSM networks, the SIM application toolkit is defined by the GSM 11.14 standard released in 2001. So, yes, for the last 18 years. Then they said from release 4 onwards, GSM 11.14 was replaced by 3GPPTS31.111, which also includes the specifications of the USIM application toolkit for 3 and 4G networks. So in other words, we all have it, and if our phone receives an SMS that was carefully crafted completely without our knowledge or permission, things can be done to our phone behind our back. Adaptive Mobile Security explained that their mobile threat analytics system allowed them to correlate the SIMjacker sources with known malicious threat actors. As a result, they can state with a high degree of certainty that the source is a large professional surveillance company with highly sophisticated abilities in both signaling and handsets. These types of companies exploit the fact that mobile operators may incorrectly regard core network security as solved if they deploy a standard GSMA-compliant firewall. But that's not the case. So they've revealed the existence, they meaning Adaptive Mobile, the existence of the vulnerability and associated exploits that they call SIMjacker. They believe this vulnerability has been exploited for at least the past 2 years by a highly sophisticated threat actor in multiple countries, primarily for the purpose of surveillance. Other than the impact on its victims, from their analysis, SIMjacker and its associated exploits is a huge jump in complexity and sophistication compared to attacks previously seen over mobile core networks. I've got a bunch more information about IMEI recovery, location, data messages, a big graphic here in the show notes showing the way on the way in the SIM intercepts a SIMjacker attack SMS and essentially takes over the phone and is then able to probe, execute commands on the device, obtain information back, and then forward it out to an accomplished device. And so at the minimum, it's able to obtain location information, essentially pinging the phone without any notification of the user. But it's also able to play a tone, send a short message, set up a call, send USSD information, send SS, whatever that is, provide local information, the IMEI, the battery, the network, the language, etc., power off the card, run an AT command behind the user's back, send DTMF commands, launch browser, open a channel, send data, get service information, submit multimedia requests, set up geographical location. Anyway, so they said by using these commands in our own tests, we were able to make targeted handsets open up web browsers, ring other phones, send text messages, and so on. These attacks could be used to fulfill such purposes as misinformation, by sending SMS, MMS messages with attacker-controlled content, fraud by dialing premium rate numbers, espionage, as well as a location-retrieving attack. An attack device could ring another number, thus turning it into a listening outpost. Used for malware spreading by forcing the browser to open a web page with malware located on it, which it would then execute. Denial of service by disabling the SIM card, or information retrieval. Retrieve other information like language, radio type, battery level, and so forth. So basically, we all have this capability in any GSM network participating phone right now. So, all of those examples that we see in the movies where the person takes a SIM card out, those suddenly sound like a much better idea than they were before. Of course, you take the battery out too, and the phone is shut down. But anyway, they will be
For no reason at all, break it in half and throw it out.
You got to crack it in half, Leo, just for dramatic effect. It
breaks the hinge. That's all you're doing.
Okay, yes. Fine. I do have another graphic in the show notes, which is interesting, which is a distribution. If you scroll way down against a black field, a distribution of attack targets that they have seen. So there is it's an extremely long tail, but clearly a very few number of specific targets were receiving a high rate of probes about their location. They said in one country, we are seeing roughly 100 to 150 specific individual phone numbers being targeted per day via SIMjacker attacks. They said, although we have witnessed bursts of up to 300 phone numbers attempted to be tracked in a single day, the distribution of tracking attempts varies. So this is being used for surveillance in targeted attacks. And the good news is it looks like these could be caught because they have to transit the mobile phone network, and right now there are no firewalls that are blocking this from happening. Basically, it means getting smart about this at the mobile phone infrastructure level, because it's certainly not the case that all of our SIM cards are going to be replaced anytime soon. But boy, I mean, this looks like a capability that was over-designed once upon a time, that had a brief window of usage, and then nobody ever turned it off or took it away or shut it down. And it's just a glaring vulnerability in GSM phones.
Oh, only GSM?
Yes. GSM, SIM-based GSM. I'm not enough of an expert in other non-GSM networks, but there are alternative SIM-like systems in non-GMS phone GSM phones.
Right. There are SIMs in LTE phones, but you think that's a different kind of thing, or?
I'm not an expert enough to know.
Yeah, interesting. I bet it is the same, but. Why would never take out a capability, right? when you can put in more.
Exactly. Wow.
Mark says it's the same. He says the only thing resistant is CDMA. Mark's a security expert
cool.
and fan.
And does anyone use CDMA anymore? Did that go away?
You have some older Verizon and Sprint handsets, maybe, but everybody's moved to LTE. CDMA over LTE in some cases, but I think you'd still be using the SIM.
Yes, in that case, the underlying transport would be LTE still.
Right.
Wow. So anyway,
our
listeners, in general, we don't have anything to worry about. It's nice that this came to light. Certainly, there are people somewhere whose location is and you can imagine that this is the kind of thing that law enforcement could ask a provider to provide for a given individual. We want to know where they are right now. And there can be an answer from virtually anybody can be targeted whose phone number is known.
Right.
by sending them an SMS message. Their phone will say, yep, here's where I am, and other stuff too.
Wow.